Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
You're a liar. You're a liar.
I was going to say it's a bit rude to start the interview in that way. Yeah, it was an interesting debate, wasn't it? Some has described it as the worst in history, certainly a poor display of democracy.
Car crash.
Chaotic in many ways, characterised by personal insults, interruptions. We saw the two candidates clashing, of course, on the handling of the coronavirus, tax and families. Joe Biden calling the president a clown, telling him to shut up, was not sort of rhetoric you'd normally expect in this type of event. I guess for investors, the biggest concern continues to be the risk of a contested election. President Trump once again questioned the ballot procedures, saying the election was rigged and likely, I think, to lead to heightened volatility in financial markets as we get closer to the date.
Yes, I think the general consensus is it hasn't really done anything to the polls.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen a significant change. People could barely understand or hear what the candidates were saying. So, I'm not sure it's really altered President Trump's chance of being re-elected. We know, of course, that Joe Biden has many polling advantages at the moment. But as you say, a lot can change over the course of a campaign. But with the heightened possibility of ballot disputes, delayed results, legal challenges, just remember, both parties have now already filed dozens of lawsuits alleging voter suppression, fraud, or rigged elections. Coupled with that deeply polarised electorate and the prospects of weeks of uncertainty, there are risks that could undermine the whole 2020 election process, its results, and possibly even staying the presidency. So it's going to be an interesting few weeks, as you say.
Yes, I normally like to listen to a bit of music on the way to work, but I listened to that on the way to work this morning and I kind of nearly drove off the road when Biden told him to shut up.
I saw Hillary Clinton saying that she would have liked to have done so. Yeah, not the only one there. Listen, I think some key dates to think about in terms of the electoral process may serve as a deadline for those disputes. The Electoral College delegation are scheduled to meet, I think, on the 14th of December, deliver the official results by the 23rd of December so that Congress can ratify the vote on the 6th of January next year. The terms of the president and the vice president, of course, expire on the 20th of January 2021. Absent of an extraordinary situation, you have to assume those dates will remain the key markers as we go through this election season.
I'm pretty sure that Biden's handlers will be a bit less than pleased because, I mean, the thing that Trump tries to do whenever he debates with anybody, if you can call it that, is try to rattle them. And he's certainly got under his skin a couple of times.
Takes it down and dirty, doesn't he? Gets it into a street fight. And there were times it looked like Joe Biden was tempted to join in with that. Although I think if you listen to some of the commentators, they did suggest that Joe Biden was effective when he spoke directly to the camera to try to get his message across, whereas President Trump very much focused on looking at his opponent or looking at the moderator. So as you said, I don't think it was a dramatic change there. If anyone, I think the American people probably lost yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think Chris Wallace, the moderator, will be asked to do another debate because he kind of lost control of it a bit, didn't he?
Absolutely struggled. It'll be interesting to see how the next debates play out and see the different approach coming through from that. But as you say, it wasn't exactly joyful watching.
There's some mechanism when they're given 2 minutes to speak, you know, without interruption, and then they interrupt each other. There should be some mechanism, like a glass cage comes down and sort of it mutes them for the rest of the 2 minutes.
I think you should do the next moderator with some new rules put in place. That would be good. I would enjoy watching that.
Don't think it would last 5 minutes. Okay, markets. Investors not terribly impressed by the presidential debates. And of course, in Washington, the waiting game of a new coronavirus aid package is continuing.
Yeah, I think exactly right. The end of month rebound in global equities, certainly losing some momentum yesterday as investors did digest that raucous presidential debate, along with the prospects of a scaled back second fiscal stimulus package in the United States. And of course, the surging pandemic figures. Virus data obviously continues to be an important component of sentiment. Authorities are still struggling to contain the coronavirus 10 months after it emerged. Grim milestones in the past couple of days as we saw deaths passing the 1 million mark, infection cases now standing at 33 million. European cities are registering spikes, although I think France was slightly better yesterday, wasn't it? But also some disturbing figures emanating from New York, all playing out in terms of markets. Losses in terms of financial markets, very much driven in the financials and in the energy sectors yesterday, as investors priced in the prospect for faltering recovery under the weight of tighter restrictions. S&P 500 closed down 0.5%, NASDAQ was down 0.29%. We are looking at a weaker start on the European bourses this morning, where we're kind of calling FTSE down 20 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 57 points. CAC in Paris down 20 points.
Are you surprised the markets didn't take more notice of the US consumer confidence numbers, which are looking a lot better?
They were looking an awful lot better. US consumer confidence rebounded in September by the most in more than 17 years as Americans grew more upbeat about the outlook for the economy and the labour market. Though sentiment, we should remember, still remains below that pre-pandemic level. Data also displayed jumps in the gauge for current conditions and short-term outlook. Consumers also expressed greater optimism about short-term financial prospects, which may help keep spending from slowing further in the months ahead. Respondents indicated they're more likely to make big purchases in the months ahead. Those planning to buy a car increased to 11.8% from 10.1%. More people intend to buy a home as well. And also the share of survey response who said they expect their incomes to increase rose to a six-month high of 17.5%, although that's down from 22.7% who said so in February before, of course, the pandemic. But we should remember the increase in infection rates, the absence of fiscal relief for the millions of unemployed who have been furloughed or struggling could certainly weigh on future confidence and start to infringe upon what has been that solid recovery in retail sales in the United States.
It was Tuesday yesterday, wasn't it?
It was Tuesday yesterday.
So you weren't here again. That's the second Tuesday in a row that you've been AWOL. Is this, you know, a pattern of things to come?
No, I had another work commitment yesterday that made me unavailable for selection, but I don't think it's a sign of something to come. But maybe it would be quite nice to avoid you on a Tuesday. You tend to be a little bit more narky on a Tuesday. Monday, you sort of come out the blocks aggressive. Tuesday, you're a bit more depressing. So maybe it's not a bad strategy.
Really? I don't, you know, don't mind Tuesdays these days.
Okay.
Deflation in Germany. This is could be a sign of things to come across the Western world.
Yeah, German price deflation is putting further pressure on policymakers trying to stimulate growth. Heard that, of course, before. Germany's inflation rate fell below zero as the pandemic curtailed demand and to the case for more monetary stimulus from the ECB. Consumer prices climbed 0.4% in September. That's the steepest pace in more than 5 years. Europe's largest economy is suffering from a double blow of tepid consumption and the sales tax cut the government introduced earlier this year in an effort to try and bolster the economy. That drop exceeded forecasts and also follows a report showing consumer prices in Spain slid for a sixth straight month. You say it's part of a broader perspective that we're seeing across Europe. The expectation is that euro area might see inflation coming at 0.2% when the data is released on Friday. Sorry, minus 0.2%. According to European Central Bank's own forecast, inflation is unlikely to reach its target of just under 2% for the foreseeable future, with a stronger euro, as we know, also an additional burden. Economists expect the European Central Bank to boost that 1.35 trillion euro emergency bond buying programme later this year. That's most likely to come in December when the new forecasts become available.
Foreign exchanges pound under a bit of pressure after Boris Johnson's internal market bill went through the House of Commons last night.
Yeah, the passage of that bill wasn't as dramatic as some had suggested in the run-up to the vote. So got that through, but still lots of debate around what's happening with Brexit. Appears to be some brighter tones coming through about the prospects for a deal. So we wait to see how those developments play out in this crucial week for that. But pound against dollar this morning coming in 128.5. Euro dollar coming in at 117. You know, just over 1 euro 9 cents for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Yep, you too. Speak to you in the morning. Hank Potts from Barclays.